And today, Darren, we have the true privilege to have the somebody who is unique. I'd like to ask you, Darren, what will take for you to contemplate your death and execute? I will never do this. I'm afraid of the thinking about the death. You know what I mean? I've faced a death many times in the war, but not because
I
want.
I think everyone thinks about their parents first.
Yes, that's correct.
What's happened to them?
So what's happened? What's happened to somebody who plan and execute his own death, and then he doesn't die, but instead of this, he's a living example why he should not do this. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a short break, and you want to listen this. Today with us in studio, it's somebody who done it all and who's going to inspire you his story and why you should embrace the life, why you should love the life, and why you should listen to this great radio show, Business Insights with Darren and Mario, and our guest in studio. Well, you can check on Facebook. His beautiful face is there. But let's go talk after a short break. You're listening to Law 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario, the greatest and hottest radio business tech show in universe. Universe, yes, universe. You know, that's a Darren magic, you know, on a radio.
13 minutes past 12, Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And I'd like to say thank you again to Darren Capps Davis for making the magic in this awesome radio station, Live 90.5. You can viewing this interview live on a Facebook Business Insights with Mario and Darren, or you can tune later on today on our website alive905.com.au under the section podcast. You search for this show and there's going to be interview with Matthew. Now the Matthew, it's different guest than anybody else, and it's a truly unique opportunity for everybody of you who ever contemplated to end of your life, or you facing the true obstacles, how to overcome them. The point it is, all our guests have their story, life stories and experiences. We all have, you know, Darren has, I do have, and that experience what our guest has, it's truly unique. And I can't be clearer more than this. It is somebody who experienced that on a level nobody us ever contemplated. You know, I saw the death and the destruction of war, and I faced the death, but I never being on that scale as our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go stop talking and let me introduce you to the world public speaker, motivation speaker, and he has a full right to be motivation speaker because it's a simply, not because it's a face at his obstacles and try to commit suicide, but what it is, it's this greatest radio show, Business Insights with Darren and Mario, and that's a unique opportunity to you learn something new. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome our guest in studio, Matthew. You need to continue now your surname.
Caruana. I was waiting for it.
So, Matthew, welcome to the studio today. And thank you for finding time to be with Darren and myself in studio. And to our listeners, you have almost 2 million people listening to you right now. You are live on Instagram. You're live on Facebook. So for our listeners, how old you are?
I'm 21 years old.
21 years old. And how long you been in a wheelchair?
5 years.
And 5 years. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, with the most of the people doing something with their life complaining, you've been 5 years in a wheelchair and you are inspiring others. So who is Matthew?
Well, I like to consider myself a speaker, an international speaker and mindset coach. My mission is to instruct, inspire, influence and impact people's frame of mind for them to improve their lives, and that fulfills me. That's my mission. It's what I do with my life and I live every day to fulfill that.
Before we go on, and if I may, can I ask a question? And you may not answer if you don't want to. Who was Matthew?
Who was Matthew?
That's an interesting
question. A very interesting question. I had little self-worth. I labeled myself as worthless. And I was severely depressed, anxious, suicidal. And I put up, although you wouldn't tell, I put up a front that said, I'm unstoppable, tough as nails. No one can mess with me. But if you really knew what was going on, you would see the other side, but no one saw it. I did my best to hide it for years.
And no doubt there are many people like that out there, and it's good that you can share your message of where you are now to show hope for others who may be where you were.
Yeah, and what I've come to realize with what I do by speaking, going to many schools, corporates, conferences, workshops, just all these different places, I've come to learn how many people out there are feeling similarly to the way I used to, and are thinking similarly, acting similarly, feeling similarly. It breaks my heart. And for them to believe that this is the rest of their life, that's all they're destined for, breaks my heart.
That's very interesting. That's is a point. So, Matthew, you're born and grew up in Sydney and mm-hmm. In this hills area. So, can you guide us? You know, there's many experts there. Like, I will say right now, outright, I'm not the expert in psychology, psychiatry, nothing. Nothing at all. I have education and have right. But I'll ask you as a person some question, because it's like, I know you don't feel sorry and pity for yourself. I saw you how much life inside of you it is. But can you tell us about your growing up as a teenager, as a child, and compare with the kids today you seeing around yourself? So, you know, you grow up, you know, of course yeah. you're born and you have the parents and everything else. So, like, what was your growing up as a child?
It was, like, for lack of a better word, perfect. Mm. When I say that, I had, from the outside, nothing going wrong. Family, perfect. No, I never had any family struggles at the time. Everything was really calm, really chilled. Everyone was decently connected, at least they would have thought. And friends, had many friends. I was decently popular. And childhood was never an issue.
So what was the issue then?
Now, I don't want to blame this, but I do bring it up. I was brought up and raised Catholic. And I was always told, you know, you'll find your purpose through the Bible, through God, through Jesus. And I never resonated with that. Personally, it's not my thing. But then I always heard everyone has a purpose and that everything happened for a reason. And I remember distinctly, I was 12 years old, middle of year 7, like I said, good amount of friends, everything going well. Yeah. I asked myself, well, what was the meaning of my life? What's my purpose? What's my reason? And that confused me. And so, I mean, being the curious person that I was, I should ask myself another question. I didn't like having a dead end. Well, if I can't answer that, well, if I was gone and dead, would anything actually change?
Oh, just a second. We're talking about you're 7 years old.
No. 12.
Okay, 12.
12.
So you're 12 years old. So let me reflect this. You heard everybody has a purpose, everything happy for the reason. And today, most inspirational speakers, inspirational, motivational, talk about this, about purpose. And I can now, between the lines, actually understand that when somebody motivates somebody else to find a purpose, actually can be very negative impact to somebody if it doesn't have to find the purpose.
Mm.
So you're 12 years old and you say to yourself, you have no purpose.
Mm. Well, I didn't know at the time, at that question. So then my second question, if I was gone dead, would anything change? I was alive. I didn't know how to answer that question. So I asked myself a last one. Well, do I actually add any value to society? And then I had an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12, lived at home with my parents, had no job, which meant, well, I'll just take up space. Therefore, if I was gone and dead, nothing here would actually be different. There'd be more space for someone else who has more meaning and purpose in their life.
Can you repeat this again? What did you say? If you were dead, you won't take the space.
Well, if I was dead, I was, because I felt like, well, I won't go to that. But I had no role in society, had no job, lived at home with my parents. I thought I was just taking up space. Because I had no role, I played no purpose.
Yeah.
So if I was gone and dead, nothing would be different. There'd be more space for someone else who had more meaning and purpose in their life. And then I answered that first question, that my life has no meaning, that I am worthless, was how I labeled myself. And I constantly dwelled on that question. I hated it. And I wanted to change my answer, but I couldn't come up with anything else. This really bothered me. And I labeled myself as worthless, I then became depressed, constantly thinking that and then slowly forming a belief.
Okay, I know that sounds stupid for you, maybe or funny, but I cured my depression with Nutella and the results was 35 kilos extra. Truth it is. How did you cure your depression?
It was...
If you'd like to share with us.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. No, it was a journey. So... I'll give you a little bit of context. So the day that I, so January 9th, 2016, I was, yeah, it was a Saturday. I wasn't feeling great at all. And if you knew me very well, you would notice there was something off. Like, at the time, I was going to the gym every single day. I wasn't missing a day. I didn't go that morning. And I woke up quite late. And my mom called me out on it. She's like, Matt, what's going on? And I said, look, I don't want to go to the gym today. I'm tired. And those three questions at the time, so 4 years later, are still in my mind. And I'm constantly dwelling on them. Constantly. And it got to the point where I actually said, you know what? Why don't I actually fulfill these answers? It's now been 4 years. What am I waiting for?
What do you mean, what are we waiting for? So we're talking age 12. You realize that you are taking the space and that's going to be better if you're not here around. That you're going to free the space and by disappearing. You know what I mean? Like when I say disappearing, like taking on life. And then you're 16 years old. So for our listeners to understand, your mom, she says, let's go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't feel to go to the gym and you go with her every day.
Yeah. I did not want to.
Was your mother suspecting something or?
No, she just thought it was a bit off. And I just said I was tired. So she believed me. She didn't know I was upset, depressed or anything like that. They hadn't known anything at that stage.
So before we take a break, what was depression for you? What did you feel inside of you with our listeners so they can resonate, you know, if they suffer with depression? How was depression reflecting inside of you?
I felt
and then, of course, outside.
I felt empty.
And
I labeled myself as worthless. It's like a hole in my heart that was just carrying this weight for some reason that I couldn't get rid of.
Mate, you're 16 years old. How you know, I tried to, yes, Darren.
Okay.
Now, I'm just trying to comprehend this. You're such a brave man, to admit this in public. And I'm hoping that millions of other people's going to listen to this. Because, so how did you this reflect on outer world, in outer world? Have you smiling? You look happy or?
Well, I was going to the gym, right? Very often. And the thing was, from the outside, like my outer shell, everything for me was external. My outer shell, like how I looked, you'd think.
How did you look at
this guy's thriving?
Can you describe our listeners? How was a Matt looking in his biggest time of depression with a big hole in his heart? How did you look physically?
I was ripped. I was big. I was going to the gym consistently. Like I said, I looked like, God, like I'm like a model essentially, for lack of a better word. That
and
stroking
I'm,
my
and
ego
I'm complaining
too much.
About my two-pack, you know what I mean? So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a short break. You're listening, Matthew Caruana. Did I say
Caruana?
Caruana. And that's all Darren's fault. It's Darren's fault. You're listening live, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren and Matthew Caruana with us in studio. And, you know, stay with us. We take a short break. This is the story. It's going to move you for forever, not just for today. And thank you, Matthew, for sharing your experience with us. It's very heavy. But, you know, without you, even I today will not be person I am. So thank you for this. Take a short break, Darren. You're listening to Line 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario.
It's 29 minutes to 1 at Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And I'd like to say thank you to all listeners to Line 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. Darren and I'd like to say thank you to all sponsors of this great radio station, and I'd like to say thank you to all of you who are tuning in across the globe. It's almost 2 million people listening right now, and I'd like to say thank you to everybody on Instagram, on Facebook, and most importantly, thank you to our guest, Matthew, who is sharing his very powerful story, very painful story, but we truly expecting that you're going to take the best from this story and make it your life better. No, I have reason to say this because Matthew, he decided to do something what most of us will maybe contemplate or maybe execute. But Matthew did execute his own suicide. However, he survived and he shared his story. And now today, he shared his story across the globe about suicide, about depression. And we continue our interview with Matthew. So Matthew, you know, during the, you know, being ripped and being the sexy beast on Instagram, everything else... you know, like between me and Darren, like we make the good. But okay, jokes aside. So you were going to gym, you were looking ripped, you were, you know, that's a outer shell, as you say. So, but I understood in our prior conversation before the show that you are using extensively enhanced substances as well. Is that correct during that time?
Not steroids.
No. Okay, but maybe something more on a lighter note, let's just say. Some drugs or something. I tried to find a proper word. So please, can you share with our listeners? So you were 12 years old. You realized that you have no purpose. But by the age of 16, you're ripped. You're a model. You're a good-looking man. But you are, you know, taking drugs as well.
When
would you start taking drugs?
I started at 13.
13.
Yep. So
how did you come in contact with the first drugs? Well, like, you don't go in 7-Eleven and select, give me a kilo of marijuana, you know what I mean? Stuff like this, you know what I mean? But no, how did you come in contact with the drugs?
Yeah, so it started when I was on the Christmas holidays of year 7.
Yes.
So give some context. I used to go to a skate park near my grandparents' house.
Yes.
Over and over again. I used to love the place. And I became some friends with there because I was going there regularly, right?
Yeah.
About once a week. And so I slept over their house one night.
Mm-hmm.
Slept over and skated most of the day. That night, right back at his place, and he's like, "Hey, Matt, want to smoke some pot tonight?" I was like, "Ooh, you know, look, I don't know. I never touched drugs."
Cool. Your grandmother gave you. Sorry.
Yeah, you gotta imagine that.
Yeah.
So... he offered, and I didn't really want to. I was a bit intimidated because, well, I'd heard about drugs, what I'd learned from school.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Dude, what are you talking about? It'll smell you out, make you feel good."
Yeah.
When he said that, I really held on to those words.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, because at the back of my mind, I've been feeling upset now for 6 months, right? And so to me, it was like a no-brainer. I said, "Yeah, let's smoke." And the thing was, I wasn't feeling anxious, depressed, suicidal. I wasn't questioning my life at that stage, no. I felt... like it wasn't there. And so I equated that with just drugs in general, just with feeling good. And the next morning, though, those thoughts returned. So I felt like I kind of needed more, but we were going to skate. He didn't want to. It's like, okay. Went back home that afternoon. Now, this guy doesn't go to my school. My grandparents live in a suburb, about 45 minutes away. And I couldn't get it out of my head. I needed more. Right, this was my fix.
But have you felt better with the marijuana? Like, you feel you will cure yourself from depression or something?
Well, I thought that was the fix, because up until this stage, 6 months have gone by where I haven't not felt this. I've constantly felt upset, depressed, and worthless. That was the main label that really got me down.
Worthless.
Mm.
Darren, who make us worthless? Do you think that society makes us worthless, our parents, or?
No, I believe the power's in oneself.
Ah.
To make yourself worthless, or to make yourself what you should be, and that's someone who looks after yourself in like a not a silly way, but you need to love yourself.
Yeah.
But I think there's other things out there as well in that, and I was talking to Matthew during the break, and I'm going to answer you the question now.
Please.
In those years, and so from year 7 to then it's 4 years plus, and you're 13, now taking drugs, what do you believe you were missing now you know what you're going through?
Connection.
What do you mean by connection?
That was the deepest way to put it. But connection, someone... that understood me and someone I related to.
So with the drug, say, for example, were you trying to connect with the drug or connect with the person who introduced you to the drugs to kind of have a good time with them?
Well, no. I was using the drugs to connect with a feeling outside of upset, depression, and anxiety.
Okay. Can I draw the line there? So it was not marijuana only?
No.
You tested something else? Or?
Yeah, so it started with just that. And... after I sat at my mate's place, Matt home, I'm thinking I need something. But I made a clear distinction. If I'm going to continue with this, friends and family are going to be completely separate.
Yeah.
I need, in a way, live a double life. No one in my day-to-day life.
So it's like a double life here, right? That's what you're saying.
Somewhat, if you want to call it that. So basically, none of my friends at school, none of my family can know. And I made a firmly said to myself, no one's going to know unless they're doing similar stuff. And I used to skate a lot. Used to go out around my area, skate around, go out for a few hours. My parents wouldn't ask any questions, so I was doing it that often. So I would tell my parents I was going for a skate. About that stage, I was looking for someone to get drugs off. Didn't really matter what it was at the time. Then I found someone. He was smoking, he wasn't suspicious. So I approached him because I recognized the smell. And yeah, smoked with him, stayed with him for about an hour. And then he said, before you leave, look, take this with you. And in my hand was a bag of coke. And that's when I was like, oh, look, no, I didn't want it. I honestly, at that point, I was scared. I was like, look, man, I haven't done that. I smoked pot. That's really about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? It's your first line. Here, I'll do it with you. It's not going to kill you. I was like,
so that's how that works, actually. I'll do it with first line with you, I'll not kill you. And what was your expectation? Did you have expectation before you were snorting coke or afterwards?
I didn't know what to expect.
And afterwards?
I knew nothing about it. Afterwards, I thought weed was going to be the answer. No. I hooked on this really quickly. I ended up going through that bag pretty quickly after he gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I returned to him about a week later asking for more. And he laughed at me. He said, you want more? You got $300 for a gram? And I was like, okay, wait, what?
Well, it doesn't come for free.
I know. But up to that stage, I didn't know that. And basically, I had no job. I told him that. He said, well, look, if you need money, you can work for me. And at that stage, I had no real... I thought I had no other option. Mm. In my mind, I'm feeling upset, depressed, yeah. Worthless, right? Yeah. Here's this drug that is quote unquote helping me in the moment, and I need to do this to get it. I need to start dealing. To me, I thought it was a no-brainer, and so I said, "All right, let's do it." At 13 years old, I thought my next best step was to become a drug dealer.
Well, but simultaneously, you were contemplating suicide.
Mm-hmm. But when I was high, I wasn't thinking that. So I thought this was the escape.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take a short break and we come back after the break with this awesome guest of ours, because this is just a scratch of his story. Because what you want to hear from him, how his story is going to help you, enable you to overcome the obstacles, and how you're going to make it your life better. Because Matt, he shares his pain, so you can recognize that pain inside of you, so you can reach out to the different avenues, to different organizations, to people, to friends, to family, to wife, to mistresses, to the midgets, to the dwarves. Who cares, as long as you feel okay. And I truly admiring our guest today, Darren, in the studio. So we take a short break. You're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Marion Darren, and we'll come back after a short break.
It's 12:15, live 90.5 Business Insights with Marion Darren.
And I'd like to say thank you to everybody who is tuning in on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Marion Darren. Please feel free to come tonight after 6 p.m. AEST, Austrian Eastern Seaboard Time. After 6 p.m., thanks to Darren Capes Davis, you can come on our website at live905.com.au and hear this podcast as many times you like. And as well, you can go on Facebook now, tune in, or later on as well to review the footage. I find very interesting statistic, Darren. He said, all the number of deaths by suicide varies each year. The age standardized suicide rates in Australia has increased from 10.7 per 100,000 population in 2009 to 12.1 deaths per 100,000 population in 2018. That's a 30% increase. The rate increased by 30% in males from 2009 to 2018 and 40% in females. So the figures of the suicide actually rising in Australia. And I think it's a stigmata talk about, people has a depression or commit suicide or will commit suicide. But ladies and gentlemen, today have the real deal in the studio. And Darren and I are very proud to discuss this topic with all of you. We all going to reach the point in life. I did, there's a time when you're just a human being and feel all these emotions coming out, and you think that life is not fair to you and you feel worthless. And that's what it is. I was thinking the worst emotion, it's a rejection, but worthless, that's the something what we're creating as well. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest in studio continue his journey. So he's a 16 years old. He's ripped. He's good looking man. Go on his Instagram page, Matt Shares, And while he was dealing the drugs, taking the drugs, he was contemplating his own death. Now, for all those who don't believe in the power of the will, Matt is going to share this with you. So, Matt, do you mind? Just turn the camera on.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, with that was not so technically well, but you can watch your Facebook. It's, but this is on Instagram. So Matt, you contemplated your death for how long?
4 years.
4 years.
I mean, that's if you only include before my injury.
Okay.
Afterwards, I was still thinking about it, obviously. So January 9th, 2016, that night, I threw myself off a building 30 meters high, landed on concrete. And when I woke up the next day, I woke up for 2 weeks, actually. I was in a coma for a while, and blessed, actually, to even end up in hospital. I wasn't found for 6 hours. But I, when I got into, how do I say it? When I woke up, I originally thought it was the afterlife, originally. When I came back to my senses that this was actually life.
So you're thinking you went to heaven when you wake up in hospital.
Or heaven, whatever.
Whatever, yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least you don't want to wake up in Albania on a coast now, you know what I mean? That's what it is like. But yeah, so you wake up in a hospital and you were thinking this is afterlife.
Initially, yes, because I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
But it came back to me, I'm still alive, and I had this one thought. And it drove me insane inside.
Which is that one?
I was worthless beforehand. I was at rock bottom, right? I wanted to end my life. It was for the betterment of everyone else and myself. I was worthless. The fact that I'd failed at the one thing I wanted to do, how pathetic am I now, was the one thought I constantly had each and every moment that I could remember back at that stage. It ate me up inside. I never hated myself more.
What is that? Why you feel pathetic?
Well, I'd failed at the one thing I wanted to do beforehand, which was to end my life. I was worthless, therefore I was a detriment to society and detriment to myself. Getting rid of myself and my existence, I thought was for the betterment of everyone and everything.
Darren, can you imagine that? You listeners, if you listen to this is the power of mind, I said. What I'm going to ask my next question to our guest is, you contemplated your death for 4 years. You crawl out of your house.
Mm-hmm. I snuck out, yeah, at night.
What night? What time?
Around about, give or take, 11 o'clock.
At night?
Mm-hmm.
And then you knew about the building you're going to use to commit suicide.
I'd planned it for a year.
For a year?
I planned exactly where I was going to do it, the time of day I was going to do it, how I was going to do it. I didn't know when. That was the only thing I didn't know.
Okay.
I had planned it for every year.
So
visualizing it.
Can you guide us to that point? So you walk on the top of the building, no hesitation, you just jump.
There was no second thought. For the moment of sneaking out of my house to walk into the place, it was about a 15-minute walk. It's plenty of time to have some second thoughts. No, there's nothing. There's no second thought. When I was on the building, it became even more clear. It's like I'd written a movie script and this was the film. And as I get closer, I pick up the pace and I start running.
Yeah.
Then I throw myself off. And
so, look, I need to ask you, this is my curiosity, and please forgive me. The moment you jump from the building 30 meters high till the moment you reach the ground, did anything happen in your mind? Did you saw something or did you feel something, or it was just a blink of the time, second or something?
All I remember is thinking, finally.
Finally. And then you wake up in hospital 2 weeks later.
Yep.
And then you think this is the afterlife.
Yeah, well, I was both legs on boots. I was braced up. Cast on both hands, neck brace, feeding tube, everything. Hated it. And I did not know what to think.
And then you think you were believing that you're worthless before the suicide. But after you waking up, realizing this is not afterlife, you're in a hospital, you say to yourself, how pathetic actually I am, because the one thing I planned, I couldn't execute to take my life.
Mm.
Man, this is heavy, Darren. What don't you think? This is very heavy. So how long take you to recovery? What was the hospital feeling? You know what I mean? Like, you know, they come to you and doctors and the family and they say to you, you know, I mean, we found you, and I mean, and all these things. You fed on the tubes, you say, and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting. I was in ICU for a month, and then I was in the spinal ward for 3 months. So a total of 4 months in hospital. And it got to the point where I thought this was my life forever. I'd gotten used to people doing all these things for me, gotten used to doing certain things, and I didn't like it at all.
So and did you still contemplating to end your life?
Of course. Of course. I was asking my friends, how did you get here? Like, oh, we caught a train. I'm like, okay.
Yeah?
And that sparked an idea for me. And I was constantly thinking about it. But I was a 24-hour watch for a while.
Okay.
Psychologist twice a day. And at the time, it drove me nuts.
And when did you stop thinking about suicide?
That was a long journey. I had a turning point while I was in hospital, a week before I left, actually, with a stranger on a train who broke my pattern unintentionally, right? I had gotten some piercings done in Penrith, and on the train ride back halfway through the trip, this guy comes on, complete stranger, never met him before. And it's the first time I've ever told someone. But he abruptly asked me, before I even sat down, what did you do to yourself? Look at you, Jesus. And I don't know why. I suppose a mixture of how abrupt he was and how happy I was because I got in these piercings. I said, oh, I attempted suicide. First person I ever told.
And what his reply was?
His response was, with some profanity.
Yes.
That was pretty stupid, wasn't it? He starts laughing heavily. He really starts laughing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to respond to it. And the next morning, I woke up with a sense of lightness. And for the first time, I went and saw my social worker without her chasing me up. I shared what had happened. And she said, Matt, maybe opening up to that guy, got things off your chest, made things a bit lighter. But what if you were to open up to the people close to you in life? Could you potentially strengthen the relationship you already had with them? And that hit me because I didn't like hearing that. Before my injury, I'd never spoken. And at this stage, I had never wanted to. That just came out in the moment.
Yeah.
But I started, actually, because she made a good point with the guy on the train. So I started talking to my girlfriend at the time. Yeah. She said she never loved me more. It's been 18 months since you've been real with me, Matt. Like, I never felt closer. I started talking to my friends. And there were two people I swore were never going to know, my parents. But I spoke to them. It's amazing how my relationships did go closer. And I had a supportive network around me that I could go to when I wasn't feeling good. And they valued me as much as I valued them. And that helped me tremendously. But I was still worthless. Those three questions had the same answer. Yeah. Right? I still felt worthless. Until the end of that year, I was given an opportunity to... Well, I was actually asked to go to the hospital, have a meeting with my social worker. And she said, hey, Matt, would you be open to sharing your story with about 30 or so students the same age as you? You open to it? And I said, oh, look, I don't know. But she cut me off. She said, Matt, remember that guy on the train? How that made you feel? What if you could help other people by helping yourself at the same time?
So your worthlessness actually found a purpose to help others?
Not at that stage.
Not at that stage.
But it was leading up to it.
Well, maybe after pancakes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna continue with Matt Caruana after the break. We have the news done, right?
Yeah, and the song first and up, and news, weather and traffic, and we'll be back for the second hour.
About 7 minutes, we're going to be out of the air. We're going to take the short break, and as Darren says, the weather, and this is the very first time again, you know, this week, he doesn't need to alter the photoshopping, they're putting the sun, it's very warm out, about 30 degrees. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay with us, continue this interview on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Mari and Darren. Thanks to Darren Caps Davis and his magic touch for technology and this awesome, powerful story which is going to change your life. And thank you everybody who joined us live in studio on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Mari and Darren. Thanks to Darren Caps Davis. Again, he's a magician. And guys, if you ever want to learn about podcasting and video editing and a good radio presentation skills, please feel free be in touch with Darren. I'm touched. I was like, not touching in this studio. Be in touch with Darren Caps Davis. You can find him on our Facebook page as well, on the Twitter, and he's all over the social media as well. We're talking today about facing the obstacles. So imagine how often we face the obstacles, we see no exit. Our guest in studio today, he realized when he was 12 years old that he is worthless. Are we talking 12 years old? So skipping 4 years, 16 years old, for 4 years he contemplated his ending his life, and he executed Friday night, 11 o'clock, close of 11 o'clock. He jumped from the building 30 meters high, but survived. So shared today that his powerful, compelling story. There is no glitter, there is no red carpet around the mat. He's in wheelchair, strong. He is determined to help everybody, not just in this studio, because we all need a helper, including me. We all need a friend for the end of the world. But the point is, with everybody who feels worthless, pathetic, depressed, this is the expert you want to talk, because he felt all of this. So Matt, when you wake up and you face that stranger in a train and he asks you, what have you did? He replied to you, you say to him, I tried to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to you again, what he said to you?
And he said, well, it's pretty stupid, wasn't it?
And what do you think, you know, when you spoke with your social worker and she told you, I presume that's a lady,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
okay, lady. She told you, why don't you open up and share your story? Did you felt relieved and that you find a purpose? Is that correct or misunderstood?
No, so this is now, this December 2016, she'd asked me to come to a meeting and she brought up that I could share my story. And I didn't want to initially. I didn't like talking. But she cut me off and she said, Matt, what if you could help others help you? Do you remember that guy on the train and that whole event? And in that moment, I had this feeling and it came straight from the heart.
Yes.
And this thought that said, Matt, what if you could help someone? Imagine that. And how would that feel? And I had conflicting beliefs or thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And before I said no, I said yes. And I said, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I was not keen on it. But February 2017 was my first time sharing.
Yeah.
I shared. I was shaking.
Sorry, what year are we talking about now? 2016 you jumped?
Yeah, at the beginning of that year, yep.
2017, okay.
So February 2017 was my first time sharing.
How long did it take you to the in the rehab?
So hospital 4 months, rehab 6 weeks. So I wasn't out for around about 6 months.
Okay, so yeah, that's taking time. So it's February 2017,
mm-hmm.
Your first appearance in front of who?
So it was only 30 high school students, same age as me. I was 16 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And I was shaking. Shaking.
Why?
I didn't like talking. I never spoke up.
Well, you have a Darren Kebs Davis like I did have, so he helped me to develop those skills. So you were shaking because you never spoke in public?
Not just spoke in public. I never opened up before my injury.
Okay.
I didn't like opening up afterwards as well. These are the things that I didn't like doing. But I gave it a crack and I was shaking afterwards, thinking, what are they all thinking of me? But they came up to me after.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Matt, I got a lot from it. You inspired me. And that really touched me. I got to say, in that moment, I can't bring to words like what feeling I had. But I remember nothing but tears coming out of my eyes for the, I suppose, gratitude for my dark past. Not just my dark past, but that being able to inspire someone else. That meant a lot to me. And I really carried that. And I really owned it because it was, that was the connection that was, after. And it wasn't like in that moment I found purpose. No, I kept at it. So because I loved it, I'm like, all right, let's just keep speaking. Any thought of anxiety and nervousness, no, forget that. I can inspire someone. So I kept at it. And then I was like, I want to go to schools myself, corporates, conferences. I want to coach people one-on-one. And slowly and slowly, I started to form a mission to instruct, inspire, influence, and impact people's frame of mind for them to improve their lives. And then I became fulfilled as a result. Because now I was matching what I loved with what I did every day. Now I wasn't speaking every day, but I was working towards that. Whether it be a phone call, an email, a Facebook post even, just something along the lines or that's in alignment with my mission. Anything in alignment with that became fulfilling. And I looked forward to each and every day more and more. And over time, I gradually overcome my depression anxiety, and suicidal thoughts.
May I add something on this one? And I always come back to one simple point. I know what means and feeling, you know, talking public. And, you know, I was grateful to this radio station. You know, for me, it was a different reason because English is not my, you know, native language.
Mm.
But I'm always grateful. I always say this public, not because I need to kiss the bottom of the Darren Caps Davis. He's a good man. He's a good man. And he gave me an opportunity to learn how to speak. And I mean, and a nice way explained to me how to do these things. Now, it's not about me. I'll just say something else. In a moment when I face it, some things, you know, I turn myself to YouTube. And I listen to all these blahs, blahs, blahs. 95% is just a blahs. They're just redefining, and doing redefinition of the same thing somebody else previously say. However, there's a big difference between Matt Caruana and the public speakers, motivational, inspirational, whatever you want to call them. Most of the public speaking is being choreographed. You know, how to stand, how to smile, how to walk, how to move the body language. The difference between everybody else and you, you're confined for the moment, we come later on why for the moment, to your wheelchair. So you have no luxury to do the body language, walk on a fire, fly with the balloons, you know what I mean, and shaking everything else. You are there on a spot. That is authenticity. That's the power. And I'm congratulating you on this. Seriously, man. You know, like, I can't swear because Darren told me we can't swear on the radio. And, you know, I think he saw that document where it says we can't swear, Darren. But I'll take it, Darren. Word. No swearing. But the point we're trying to make to you, that's authenticity. That's the unsung business hero. I say business hero because, after all, it's a business to share your knowledge. It's not just the motivation. But let's go say, you step in the first time with a fear in a wheelchair. You have a 30 students who are your age. And you're the only one in a wheelchair and you're sharing your story. So what was the most common question those students ask you?
There was no question.
Somebody's ringing here?
It's mine.
It's mine.
It's also the camera in the corner. So
please, everybody, forget. Sorry, you know what I mean? That's my fault. You know what I mean? I'm just calling down from my phone right now. So what was the most common question you got from these first 30 students? Nothing. What was the expression with the soil?
Nothing.
Nothing.
They asked no question. They were speechless at the end. The So there was another speaker who went before me.
Yeah.
He got about, I don't know, 8 to 10 questions.
Yes.
But I had nothing. The students looked shocked. And just like they froze up.
But isn't that the power when nobody has nothing to say after your story? This is not negative.
No, you leave
it speechless actually.
Mm, yeah, I suppose.
But that's what it is, you know, like, because the inspiration doesn't come in, you know what I mean, you just commit suicide. But you know, this is the first encounter with somebody who executed by hoping they'll come back on the other side, be alive again, as I said, right?
Mm.
And you are. So did you develop any program? But before that, do you believe that children or kids, whatever you call them, young adults or teenagers, suffer from depression in silence?
Yes. Yes. I've had countless.
So just a second, let me tell you. But let me ask you, but there's so many programs, there's so many organizations. So why it is not successful? You know, because it's a first hand. So how the teenagers suffering in silence, like yourself, or?
Similarly,
what's amazing?
Yes, similarly. And the thing is, it baffles me and leaves me speechless how many young people come up to me after when I'll be at a school running like a 2-hour workshop or whatever, and then they come up to me afterwards, and they share, Matt, I want you to know that you're the first person I'm ever telling.
Yeah.
But I've been feeling like this now for 2-3 years, and I'm having these thoughts, been doing these things. A lot of which is similar to the way I was. I used to think, act, and feel, and it scares me. It scares me.
What scares you most with them?
Because I see my old self in them, and the last thing I want to see is someone on top of a building, top of a bridge, top of a cliff, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter. And then I ask the question: Do you think there's another side to this? Do you think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, that there is any hope left? And it breaks my heart to see or to hear that some of them don't think there is a way out.
Yeah.
The public belief is that depression is not a curable. It's not something that's curable. There's nothing that can fix it. You're stuck with it for life.
Mm.
It breaks my heart because I know that's not the truth.
What's the hardest part, you know, like, just try to understand when you suffer with depression at that age? What's the hardest part? To take the parents or talk to friends? Or you think it's going to be, someone's going to bully you or ridicule you, or it's a better way to suffer inside?
The hardest part initially was just talking in general. Okay. I struggled with just getting it out. I didn't want to for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I was, how do I say it? No one at the time was talking about it. Everyone, so family, friends, people at school, all this stuff. Whenever someone was upset, they would keep to themselves. They would step back, say shut off, keep to themselves, right? They wouldn't talk. And everyone else would be like, oh, look, just give them some space. They need some time. They're working on some stuff. So no one addressed it. So how was I going to know how to address it? Or why was I going to address it if no one else did? I felt like I couldn't.
Because you said something in the first hour of this interview, something very interesting, that you had two Matthews, one inside with a big hole in the heart, and the Matt, outer Matt, who was strong, muscly, and everything else, and, you know what I mean, taking drugs, whatever it is. So that's how depression actually works. You know what I mean? It's a two people, like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort of type, right? Make a sense of what I'm saying? Or
Yeah.
Like a split personality, like, let's go say. Like, you know what I mean? One you're projecting out to outside world, or one you're keeping for yourself inside.
It's exactly what I did. If you were to peel back the layers on all the muscles,
yeah,
you'd see someone who's severely depressed, someone who's broken, scared, and just fearful.
You know what breaks my heart before I go to break? Watching your videos from the gym. You know why, Darren? He pushes more benches than me. That's the scariest part. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. Darren and I will take you for the break, and we continue this interview on how Matt Caruana can help you and assist you to, you know, overcome your obstacles. And, you know, you couldn't ask for the better than the Matt. You're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario. We'll take a short break and come back.
It's 25 minutes past one, live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
I should say something, and I'll just try to type some questions for our guest in studio, Matt Caruana. The first part of the interview, it's ready on Instagram. You can check updates there. We tagged Matt Caruana. Go on his Instagram page, Matt shares, and connect with him. You'll be glad you did it. Now, Matt, we spoke about the most important thing, which is, you know, you executed your own suicide, and then you start become the public speaker. And now I ask you a question: do they kids suffering in silence, you know what I mean, and but projecting an outside world strong whatever personality it is, how do you help the people, Matt? How do you help people when it comes to you, somebody says, dude, I have enough of the life. What do you feel when someone's come to you and say, like, you know, I have enough of the life?
Mm. And I suppose the thing is, it's very different for every person. It's everyone's experience is very, how I say it, individual,
mm-hmm.
and needs to be treated as such. But I'm a firm believer that one of the human needs, love and connection, have a supportive network. Because sometimes, most of the time, when people are feeling depressed, upset, anxious, they feel isolated. They feel like they're the only ones feeling that. Uh-huh. They don't feel like anyone understands them.
Yeah.
So be there for them.
So do this network must be psychologist, psychiatrist, or can be anybody, friend or family?
To start, make it someone close.
Mm-hmm.
People close to you in life, your parents, your partners, your friends, people that you feel comfortable opening up to. But I also do encourage professional supports.
Yes.
Of course, your psychologists, counselors out there. We're lucky in this country, right? We got many organizations out there, Beyond Blue, Black Space. Sorry, Beyond Blue, Headspace, Black Dog. Yeah. There's many out there, many hotlines we can call. If you're not comfortable with a hotline, there's even online chat services.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you're under 25, Headspace is completely free.
Yeah.
We do live in a country where supports are out there. And they're very much available. I would say as well to watch your network. I'm big on human connection. Mm-hmm. As you can tell, I was craving that beforehand. And now I really focus on that. So who are you surrounding yourself with? Understanding that they're going to influence how you think, act, and feel. And they're going to influence your life ultimately. And be aware, like, for example, how are these people making you feel? And how do you want to feel more of? Yeah. Are these two questions in alignment? Because
mm-hmm.
if they're not, you're not surrounding yourself with the right people.
Mm.
They're going to fulfill you.
Interesting, yeah.
And quite often, when I run this like this activity in high schools, I'll have a student come up to me and say, Matt, I never realized I was around the wrong people. And it makes sense why I'm feeling this way.
And can you expand on this one when you say wrong people? Can you expand a little bit more on that one? Who is the wrong people? Like I can say with Darren and I, you know, we can talk about experiences of their life or, you know, I mean, you with you, and I can pinpoint people in my life. I truly believe they shouldn't be around me, but I pick them, you know, I pick them somehow down tracking. I mean, and they become the part of my life, but I learn my lessons. But we're talking about young age, boys and girls your age who are 14, 16, 17, 18 years old,
mm-hmm.
or 12, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, I just want to make it one group, but it's like everybody who experienced depression and worthlessness of, you know, being pathetic and, you know, not having the purpose in your life, not finding, because the day, you know, when you committed your suicide when you were 16 years old. So who is the wrong people you're referring? How do we recognize the wrong people around us?
Well, it starts with self-awareness, being aware of how do you want to think, act, and feel? And the people around you, are they influencing that? Are they in alignment with you? Do you truly connect? So, for example, I was surrounding myself with people that, how they made me feel? Well, they excited me a little bit. You know, they were cool, they were popular. There was always a lot of uncertainty and variety going on.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and but at the same time, I felt belittled. I felt like they didn't really value me that much. I felt like, how do I say it? They wanted me to do things. If I didn't do them, then I wasn't worthy enough or whatever. And I felt a little bit frustrated by that as well. So I'm feeling excited, frustrated, and belittled. But yet in life, I wanted to feel more excited. I wanted to feel more grateful. And I wanted to feel, how do I say it, happier.
Yeah.
It's more fulfilled. They weren't making me feel... So if they were taking me... If I wanted to go left, they were taking me right, essentially. They weren't in alignment with how I wanted to think, act, and feel. And that's the biggest thing.
Interesting. So you feel you develop that sense inside yourself, you know, I should go that path. I choose the people and then taking me out of that path. But why we continue working with these people? This is the biggest question, bigger mm-hmm. question. Why will stuck with these people? I did, you know, I mean, you think I didn't? Oh, man, you know, I mean, I've done crazy things in my life, you know, I mean, just to attract attention of the girl. And then I eventually finished juvenile when I was at 12 and a half. But the thing it is, why we continue with those ones? I'm asking you because, you know, even today I can't find my answers, but and I'm old man, I forgot most of these things in the past, but why we continue working with these people?
Well, at a young age, it's typically about popularity.
We're
comparing ourselves. And then later on in life, I believe it becomes our identity. And it's comfortable. We stay there because it's comfortable. It's what's known. It might not be serving us,
mm-hmm.
but if we're comfortable, it's going to be easier to stay there than seek other friends. Because that's going to go into the unknown. The unknown brings about a world of possibilities. God knows what's going to come.
Yeah.
Nothing that we are familiar with.
Yeah.
So it becomes a part of our identity. And when it starts to become a part of your identity, you start to protect it.
Yeah.
You don't want anything to interfere with it.
Ask you one question. You can answer not.
Mm-hmm.
How embarrassing it is to somebody admit and say, I'm lonely, I'm worthless, I'm depressed. Generally speaking, doesn't mean to be 12 years old, 16 years old, 25 years old, 95 years old, like a darling, and you know, mean me like 16 years old. But jokes aside, no, that is not 95, that is a 41. But the point, yeah, 41, 42, 43, 4, okay, doesn't matter. Jokes aside, but you know, stop making fun of this. How it is difficult to somebody says, I have a problem.
It's hard. It's because you're throwing yourself into the deep end.
What do you mean deep end? Expand.
You're making yourself vulnerable.
To whom?
Whoever you're sharing with.
You're
laying all your cards on the table. This is me. This is what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
This is what you don't see. This is what I put forward, but this is how I'm really feeling. And that's uncomfortable. Society, in a way, says, you know, it's weird to talk about that stuff. It's uncomfortable. It's taboo. No. That shows emotional maturity and true strength, if you tell me. Anyone that opens up to me, I honestly am inspired by. It takes a lot of courage and bravery to open up to someone. And to then say, I want to change how I'm feeling, shows that, you know, you want more and that you're aware of it and that you're willing to take the steps. That is inspirational.
What's the courage for you? Define me the courage for you.
Define courage.
Courage. We don't talk about wars or about, you know, the speaking radio. What will for you will be courage?
Being authentic.
Authentic.
Being authentic. That is one of the hardest things to do.
Well, now you know the answer why I love your company, why I know the Matt for some now time, and why I appreciate company of Darren Caps Davis. I always come back to one thing, my dear listeners. I'm very grateful that you're spending time with us on radio, with Darren and myself, and we are so proud that we have the guest, and today particularly somebody like a Matt who experienced everything, everything, and he shares his journey with all of us. We'll take an authentic break now. On you know, we're going to switch the sign on air so we can swear. Darren says after we're on off air, we can swear. Darren never says that such a thing. Ladies and gentlemen, Darren Mario will take a break with you, and our guest in studio, Matt Caruana, is going to share his journey after the break.
It's 21 minutes to 2, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
I'd like to say thank you again, Matt, for being today guest in studio with us. We are, you know, close to finish our show today, and I truly believe we could stay here forever, never, never. No question asked. But I have the question with you. Drugs obviously is not, you know, part of escape from depression, and you explained to us very clearly why it's difficult for somebody to open, because you become vulnerable to those who you open. So now the people come to you, you know, you build the trust, you build your name, you know what I mean? And it has to say, like, authenticity of you, it's extreme. So when somebody come to you, with their problems, what is your first reaction? What do you look into somebody when somebody comes to you and say, Matt, you're 20 years old, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean, I'm 48 and I think I'm suicidal. What would your thought is going to be first? Talk to that person.
Well, when I'm talking to them, I want to hear the whole picture. What's going on for them? What's their life looking like? Maybe something caused it. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it came about. It just happened. And they started feeling that. And although one thing I've noticed is that if you were to understand people's story enough, you would come to find the reason why. But some people just aren't ready to go to that level or share that. Mm. So just to understand where they're at. And if you're going to listen to someone and they're opening up to you, the first key thing is you are non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
You keep no judgment in there because they are making themselves vulnerable to you.
Yes.
That's to show authenticity is true courage, like we spoke about earlier. And for someone to do that and you are judging them, they're not going to feel great. They're going to feel belittled. They're going to feel upset further than what they already were. So keeping no judgment out of it, firstly.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, you recommend supports.
Yes.
Encourage supports out there. For me, like I said earlier on, the supportive network is that first step.
Yes.
To feel like you're not alone, that they're there, that people are there for you.
Yes. Please continue.
Pardon?
Please continue, yeah.
Yeah. But then to find what excites them.
Why do you use the word exciting? Because you said this in the first hour, there was no excitement. You were going with the people pulling us right instead of going left with us.
Mm.
So why excitement?
Why excitement?
Yeah.
Well, if you find what excites them, what lights them up, what they love.
Ah, okay, what they love.
You can start to then find what they can start doing to support themselves. Let's say we all have, like for me, I charge my phone overnight. I wake up, it's 100%, yes. Right? We are the same. We go to bed, we sleep, wake up 100% battery. As we go about our day, there's certain things we do. School, work, study, I don't know, chores around the house, shopping, whatever. We use our battery throughout our day, right? Just like our phones, as we go about using our phones. But like our phones, we can also recharge our battery. So the things that we do throughout our day that can also recharge our battery, for me, I love meditation, playing guitar. I'm big on cold showers. I love listening to music. These things recharge my battery. They bring me energy. And it's important to recognize these things that you can go to, strategies you can put in place for yourself. So when you are, when your battery does get drained, you can go to it. But sometimes that battery gets overloaded and you need some support.
Interesting, how did you put this, you know, it's come to the end of battery counts. Human life is very fragile. You know this, you know, from outside we are all appearing very strong and we calm or successful. Well, you know, most of people. The question I do have for you, how much social media impacting young adults to become depressed?
It is a big factor. Me, when I was younger, constantly comparing myself.
Yes.
There were people in my school, outside my school, who, you know, you see all their photos, they're out with these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're popular, they're out every weekend, they're out every day, every afternoon. It's like, well, what about me?
Yeah.
I'm inside, I'm on Facebook, that's all I'm doing. And I constantly compared myself. And I know a lot of other young people are doing it. They're following these fashion models. They're comparing their bodies. They're following all these people who have like luxurious lifestyles.
Yeah.
They're constantly comparing themselves. This is where insecurity is really bred,
yeah.
I believe, in today's society.
That's very interesting, like, because I truly believe that there's a big competition on social media, no question asked.
Absolutely.
It's every day, like, everybody try to appear better. I don't know, you know, it's not me, because I'm fat. I mean, I'm fat, you know, there's no, you know, I can't compare myself, but, you know, even I sometimes I wanted to look better, you know, physically, like, you know, I mean, choosing the angle of the camera and how I'm going to look like. But the point it is, social media is a big driver to insanity, to you be better and so on. Do you... through your public speaking, do you addressing that issue to the young people?
Not necessarily, not very much. I do bring it up. Yes. I do bring it up. But my main focus is the power of connection. And
what connection?
Connection. So firstly, so like I mentioned earlier on, the people in our life, how they influence how we think, feel and act.
Yes.
When I'm at a school, for example, when I'm in front of 200 students, I want them to understand that, then understand how they can support others, how they can support themselves. But ultimately, in that group of 200 students, I want to increase the level of connection amongst everyone. I have activities, exercises, reflective questions that create that. And I see the discomfort in the students, but at the end...
Discomfort? What do you mean discomfort?
The discomfort, because these are slightly... these exercises and activities are slightly vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Then afterwards, I see students high-fiving each other, giving hugs and connecting beyond what they were when they came in. When they came in, they weren't really...
You're such a legend, mate. But look, we're coming to the end of our show. So I have a few more questions to ask. We take a short break and then we're going to expose naked truth about you. What are you doing in the gym? And I want everybody goes on Matt's IG page and you're going to see it. Even before I ask a question, you're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario. We'll take a short break and continue our conversation with this awesome guest, Matt Caruana.
It's 9 minutes to two, Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's 9 minutes to 2 p.m. and it's time to abandon and disembark this lovely studio, because our next show is coming after us. But before we go to this, Darren, this is, you're going to like it. You know, Matt is in a wheelchair. And what's the paraplegic or what was the
quadriplegic? Yeah,
what's the difference? I don't know what the difference is. Seriously, like, you know what I mean? So,
quadriplegic is impairment of all four limbs. Paraplegic is only two.
Okay, so paraplegic, right? But do you know that Matt, he drives a bicycle? Did you know that?
No.
He's on a mission. Matt, share with us.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Matt. That was a very inspirational from you.
No. I want to hear this, Mario. I want to hear this.
Oh, thank you. Please continue.
Well, I'll talk to Darren. So. No. So, with my injury, I've been, I have a spinal cord injury. They say there's two types of spinal cord injuries, incomplete and complete. Now, most people have incomplete injuries, means the spinal cord's injured, but it's not completely severed. Mine is complete. There is a complete sever in my spinal cord. It is in two. And that means there should be no nerve signals going from the brain to my body beyond that point. I am now in the gym, riding a bike, working my legs, the strength there, in order to progress towards walking again. I'm doing sit-to-stands while I am with my rehab trainers and my physios, and we are seeing progress continuously.
So how's the signal going there? Is it a new pathway, or did they get it wrong? Do you have a connection there?
Well, this is where, I suppose, typical way of thinking, and like science, what they teach at uni and all this stuff, they can't explain it. At my physio, for example, they get new students going there for placement every like 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. And every time we ask them, what level of injury do you think Matt is? And it's constantly getting lower, which means I'm progressing. And they're like, doesn't make sense. How is he a T12 complete and he can use his legs? How does that make sense? His use of his abs and all these other things, they don't know how to explain it. I believe it's in the mind. I firmly believe it's in the mind. 80% of my rehab has been mind transformation, mind reform, and 20% has been the physical rehab. Obviously, without the physical rehab, there is no progress.
Yeah.
But also, without the mindset change, there would be no progress either.
Now, you know, everybody who facing life obstacle, he must listen to this radio interview. I'm freaking declaring the freaking martial law on a negativity, on a Crimea River babies, you know what I mean? My life is this and that. I'm declaring here right now to stop that nonsense, how life is bad. You guys, you should listen to this radio interview, because listen to this radio interview, you're going to meet the person who beat the law of gravity, physics, medicine, and everything. Of course you beat the gravity. You fall from 30 meters high and you're alive. Of course, you know, medicine can't explain everything. So, yes, I'm declaring martial law on behalf of Matt Caruana. Go on his Instagram page, Matt Shares, and connect with him. Be inspired. Reach him. So, Matt, a part of your hourly fees, you know, I mean, everything else, how do people can reach you?
The best way, I would say, is my website. Please. So www.mattcaruana.com, yes. MATTCARUANA.com. That's my website. There's a contacts page there, and a lot more of my stories on there as well. You can, all that. Then I have my Facebook, which is just Matthew Caruana. My Instagram is Matt Shares, and LinkedIn is Matt Caruana. They're my socials.
Darren, but before we end this show, just leave that music. I'd like to say, first of all, thank you, Matt Caruana, for being our guest. Thank you, Darren Kevzes, for being awesome man, great mentor, and a magician with technology. I invite everybody to come to our website, alive905.com.au. Today after 6 p.m., please check the podcast section and please hear this interview. But before we go, I want you to know, Darren and I are preparing ourselves. We're still waiting for some small details. World Guinness record. We're going to crush it. 67 plus hours continuous broadcasting. And you're going to be glad you tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, Business Insights with Mario Darren. Have a nice weekend.